Smells like shoe polish.
Be quiet. We have a promo to do. I'm Jeff Ferry, and this is my hetero podcast mate, Chris Durkach. We are the hosts of the Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We break down the Kevin Smith films featuring Jay and Silent Bob 1 minute at a time, starting with Clerks.
I have a hockey game at 12.
Please. So if you've ever worked a job behind the counter, discussing Star Wars while slinging coffee, nudie mags, and cigarettes...
Cancer merchant.
Chill down. Or if you ever leaned outside a convenience store, secretly hated all your customers, or closed your place of business to attend a funeral, you should join us at Jay and Silent Bob Minute on DuelingGenre.com as we discuss the Milkmaids, Berserkers, and the significance of the number 37.
In a row?
Come for the Clerks and stay for the rest of the Jay and Silent Bob Minute fun. Chris?
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, podcast dedicated to any old vampire movies that are not covered by other Movie by Minutes podcast. I think the only one else is out there is Fright Night Minute. You guys, everyone should go check it out. The host of Fright Night Minute wants to come on the show. We got to have him on. I will reach out to him soon. But joining me once again for Dracula 79, he showed it at his Dracula Fest out in Illinois last year. We have Dave. Thank you for coming back on the show with us.
Hey, my pleasure.
Dave, introduce yourself and what story you're from. You own?
Yeah, I own and operate Cosmic Comics Games and Collectibles in downtown Belleville, Illinois. So that's 20 minutes over the bridge from good old St. Louis.
Awesome. And we begin these 5 minutes with a man going mad, which is happens to be Renfield, which has been a pretty popular character recently as he had his own movie. Yeah. And ends with Dracula scaling the wall like Spider-Man, which is funny considering that Lucy is dressed like Spider-Woman. But I digress. All those jokes aside, go listen to the last 5 minutes for more jokes about that. But yes, this is Renfield. He looks like Ivan the Terrible or the Mad Monk, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
And to tell you the truth, this is what I always imagined Renfield would look like. Is this actor. He's a great British actor. No longer with us anymore. But yeah, this is what I always envisioned Renfield. Not the squirrely one from... the Bela Lugosi film.
I think we still have with us in terms of like main cast characters. I'm not going to get into all the nitty gritty little side characters that appear, but I think main cast characters, we still have Frank Langella, who just turned 88, I think. 87, yeah. Maybe. John, I don't remember his last name, but he plays Jonathan Harker. I think his real name is John. And then Kate Mulligan, who plays... Lucy is still alive too, but she is pretty much retired and does not do interviews. So, but
we've lost Donald Pleasance.
Yes, we lost Donald Pleasance. We lost obviously Lawrence Olivier was dying making this movie.
Yeah. He's actually in a wheelchair most of it.
So right,
a lot of they had to shoot from the waist up.
Right, and there's a scene in this movie where there's like an earthquake in the asylum and like a bunch of stuff shaking around, and he dives towards the window to look down to see Dracula scaling the wall with Seward, Donald Pleasant's character, and that is not Laurence Olivier. That is, in fact, his stunt double because of the fact, as Dave just said, he was in a wheelchair most of this movie, and he was so ill. Getting up just to run to the window for a scene like that was just incredibly taxing for him. It was really... really the end of his career, whereas Donald Pleasance had just had a resurgence in his career playing a Van Helsing style character in Halloween and what's funny is that, did you ever hear who told him he wished he had taken that part and he's so glad that that Donald got it?
No.
A famous actor who also played Dracula.
John Carradine.
No, John Carradine was still alive at this point. No, Christopher Lee.
Christopher
Lee turned it down, but after he saw the movie, he told Donald Pleasance, "I wish I had never turned that down, but I'm so happy you got it."
Yeah.
It was one of those movies where Lee was like, "No, I'm trying to get out of horror. That's why I did Captain America."
Yeah.
Captain America 2, Death Too Soon. Oh, boy. Scala, what's the guy's name? The Man with the Golden Gun, Scalamingo, from the Man with the Golden Gun movie, the James Bond film. Things like that. That's what Christopher Lee was interested in doing. Not more horror movies.
That's a great trivia question. I did not remember.
I wish Christopher Lee could have like woken up to how big of a fan base he was before he passed away. And he was living in the time where obviously Lord of the Rings reinvented him in Star Wars, obviously. But he was not a convention guy. But that guy could have made bank at any con.
Yeah, this was also, you know, Christopher Lee was also, he didn't want to do Dracula anymore. He was like, let's wrap this thing up. I don't want to do
Count Dooku was such a stretch from Dracula, but that's besides the point. Give Dracula a lightsaber. What do you get? Count Dooku.
Stupidest name for a bad guy in the world.
Basically. But I digress. So we get in this scene the Drac Wolf, and there's by the way a shot at the 1 hour, 30 minute, and 49 second mark of, I think it's the asylum with the graveyard in front of it. It's just like 2 seconds. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, there's some, you know, so you're shooting in this really tight area. Like I said, this whole, all these scenes take place in the asylum and one room, you know, either Renfield's room or Kate's room, Lucy's room. So you get, you know, him climbing up the wall, which I love the fact that they've used it three times. By the time this 5 minutes is over, they've used it three times in the film already. And if anybody has ever seen the old Dracula PBS show with Louis Jourdan playing Dracula, he only did it one time because it's only referenced one time in the book. So I like the fact they overused it in this. But yeah, the atmospheric scenes, period, in this film. If I'm not wrong, I think it was up for an Oscar for Best Cinema Photography. I don't know if it won Best Cinematography in 79 or not, but it was up for that. It was also up for Best Musical Score. So, you know, this film, that's why I like it so much. It has that great atmospheric presence to it. And the scenes are well shot and wide shots, too, which I love. So you get to see that landscape. Except for the scene when we're in the asylum.
There's one thing I noticed that when the nurse is walking around the asylum, there's patients just lying around everywhere. Do people not have rooms? Mm-hmm. I did not understand that at all.
Yeah, so apparently, and this is based on truth for this time period, they would just let them roam around the hallways to get some exercise and stuff. And sometimes if they were bad, they'd stick them in cages out in the hallway. So, you know, like your room was almost like your domicile. But if you were bad, they would banish you out into the hallway and stick you in a cage, and you're lying in your own feces and pee and poop and all that bit. So, no, this is actually, you know, medicine was nothing. There was no penicillin yet.
No. Nope.
So it was just rancid and rats everywhere. Nasty.
Yeah, lovely. Diseases. Dracula decides to put Renfield out of his rat-infested misery by snapping his neck, and the way he does it is so great. But when he turns the head to the camera, you can clearly tell it's not the actor. So he turns the head around, and the eyes bug out immediately, and I think it's probably because it's a plastic head or something like that. The actor's either, like, below it, or it's just entirely a dummy, and then he drops it down. That is the actor. But it's still a great, like, almost shock moment. You're like, oh, Jesus! But that speech between Dracula and Renfield is absolutely fantastic. The dialogue exchange is truly just incredibly amazing, and obviously he is channeling his stage performance of the character while doing it.
And a great thing about Frank Langella is he talks with his eyes, which as an actor who ends up playing Skeletor later on in the 80s,
right,
you know, has to act with his eyes and his hands. So he's always been an actor of gestures, you know, talks with his hands, talks with his eyes. It's those darting eyes really unsettle me when I watch this film.
Yeah, his I think in the He-Man documentary that they got to interview him for, that he said that playing Skeletor is one of his favorite roles, and he did it obviously for his son, who was a big fan of He-Man at the time. So, and I thought that was fantastic. But you go from this role to He-Man. I don't know what he did in between. I'm sure there was other stuff or whatever, but I just can't think of anything off the top of my head. But I digress. His scaling the wall is fantastic. Obviously, it's done in a way that he is just crawling along a, you know, a flat surface. You know, there's probably some wires helping glide him a bit because he's got to glide to him. But it's absolutely amazing the way he does it. And then when he's got Lucy with him, he causes the, like an asylum earthquake to happen. There's so much destruction in the asylum.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, he rips a big hole in the side of the wall, and the air is, you know, coming almost like you're in a jet airplane, you know, when a window blows out or something, it's like all this decompression coming into the asylum. And then, you know, Jonathan goes to shoot at him, and Seward stops him because he's afraid that he'll hit Lucy, you know. And then they cut right to that scene of where he's running with her in his hands across the landscape there. Just great stuff. Great stuff.
The Dracula climbing the walls thing is something from the novel as well, because that does happen in the novel. It doesn't happen, I think, in the asylum. I think it happens when Jonathan Harker is prisoner of Dracula.
In the castle, that's correct.
It looks better here than it does in Bram Stoker's Dracula by Francis Ford Coppola, in my opinion, because of the fact that Dracula's got that ridiculous-looking hairstyle, and he's got the red robe on, and he's the old man. It just, like, it looks terrible.
Yeah. You know, it took me a while, and that's another podcast is talking about that Dracula, but it took me a while for that one to grow on me. I think Francis Ford Coppola took a lot of liberties in that film as opposed to this Dracula, which I think is, you know, outside of the fact that they've switched some names and they don't have all the characters in there that were in the original Bram Stoker's book. But this one, you know, is more geared toward a romance, of course. You really see Lucy not even wanting to not be a vampire. She wants to go with him. So, but then at the same time, Prick teases poor Jonathan. So... that's not very cool. You know, he doesn't know which way to go, so.
Correct. But that's pretty much how we end our 5 minutes with them scaling the wall. I don't have any other notes about the scene, unless you do, Dave.
No, just like I said, that at that time that he's scaling the wall with her on his back, that is his third time scaling the wall in the film. So he does one in the beginning, and he does two here in the manor, or not the manor, the asylum. So I just think that's cool because those are some of my favorite scenes. Shows you how creepy it is, you know, where he's kind of taking that bat-like stance on crawling the wall. So, no, one of my favorite films. The scenes are, every scene is like poetry in motion to me.
Where can people find you, Dave?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and X, which once was Twitter, at Cosmic Comics Belleville. You'll see Superman pointing to our sign outside of our shop. And quickly, I recommend everybody sit down and watch Dracula 1979. If you haven't seen it, please do. If you have, revisit it. And if you get it on Blu-ray, watch the desaturated color timing, which is my favorite version of it. Still the same movie, just it's got more of a black and white feel to it.
Yeah, there's a you can get both versions on the Blu-ray from Scream Factory.
Yes, which is the only way to go. Scream Factory is awesome.
And you can find me over on the Movie by Minute page, as well as the Radio Horror Network for my other podcast, like the Dead TV Podcast, where we talk about canceled TV shows, and we're currently discussing Werewolf the Series. We just had Sean Kanan on the show with us, who was his very first acting role ever before Karate Kid Part 3 was in Werewolf the Series for one episode. And we will be re-editing and reposting our interview with John J. York, who is the former star of Werewolf the Series and now former star of General Hospital, as he is pretty much kind of semi-retired due to his health reasons, but he is in full recovery for cancer, so that is fantastic. Or also, you can purchase my own version of Dracula, Vlada, A Dracula Tale, the prose graphic novel, or its subsequent comic book tie-ins, a Dracula Chronicles of the Damned, Dracula Tales of the Damned, or Dracula Resurrection, and check out the YouTube video, a short film that I created prior to all of that mess happening, Dracula's Guest, where my female Dracula meets my female Renfield. And we'll be back in another couple weeks with another exciting 5 minutes. Also, before I forget, please also rate this on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Audible, wherever you happen to listen to podcasts, please. And you can also send me an email, thatradiohorror@gmail.com. And we will be back in a couple weeks with another exciting 5 minutes of Dracula 79 here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.